Well, hello to Searching the Scriptures. Glad that you've tuned in as we do search the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. That's what this program is about, Searching the Scriptures. I'm Danny McKibben, one of the fellows that preaches at the Pine Top Church of Christ. Glad that you've tuned in. Hope that our discussion, our time in studying the Word will be profitable, will be beneficial, will be encouraging, and pointing us in the right direction, because we are going to do just that, searching the Scriptures. Well, what we want to look at for today is from Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's just kind of read our text together here in verses 11 through the end of the chapter, and we're going to focus on one point and kind of develop it around a phrase that's found here in our text. It says in verse 11, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them that an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which is that within the veil. Whether the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now, the phrase we want to look at where it talks about which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Kind of want to be talking about that, the anchor of the soul. Well, this anchor of the soul. Well, first of all, well, what's an anchor for? Well, when you talk about an anchor, like in boating, or you've got a ship, you cast the anchor into the sea. That is, it sort of grabs a hold of the bottom, and it holds the ship where it needs to be. It holds the boat where it needs to be. I mean, water is kind of like moving, and waves and wind and etc. And wind could blow you like into another ship. Or the waves could move you to go onto the shore. Or maybe there's rocks and you would crash over into the rocks. And so the anchor holds you where you need to be. Well, we have an anchor of the soul. Our hope that the writer describes about is going to hold us where we need to be. And where do we need to be? In Christ Jesus, a faithful follower of the Lord, and serving Him, and looking to His will and His way. That is what we need to be focused upon, is our hope. And this hope will be like an anchor to the soul, and keep us where we need to be. Because Satan, he is out there and he's trying to lead and tempt and get us to get away from God and head down the wrong path of sin and wickedness. And well, that just brings lots of problems. We don't need to go down that path. We need to stay on the straight and narrow path. We need to stay in the way of Christ Jesus. We need to be a faithful follower of the Lord. That's where we need to maintain our position. And our hope, like an anchor, will hold us in the way that we need to go. Now, our hope, of course, is salvation in Christ Jesus. And as the writer talks about, that all these promises that God has made through Christ, they're sure and steadfast. And there are two immutable, that is, unchangeable things about the promises we have in Christ Jesus, that God foresaw in Abraham, that in your seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed, that is, through the seed of Jesus, his seed Jesus, that Jesus came, he lived, and he died, and because he died for our sins and arose from the dead, We can find justification. We can find salvation. And this is the promise of God. It's impossible for God to lie. That's something that's immutable. When God makes a promise, when God says something, well, he's going to do what he says. Like the other day, I was walking in the mall on one of the chilly days we've had, and there was this little kid that, I don't know, a little child, maybe a toddler, 2 years old or so, and I guess it was the mom, or it could have been an aunt, I don't know, and she was like, "Come, come, and if you don't come, I'm going to spank you." And the child just kept walking right down in the direction I was going, away from the mama, aunt, or whoever it was. And I'm thinking, she finally walks up and takes a hold of her, but she didn't give her no spanking. Well, she was just throwing out empty words. I mean, really just lying to the kid. God's not like that. I mean, if he says this is what he's going to do, well, we can count on it. We can bank on what God says, because that's the nature of God. He says, and he will carry out. And that would have been sufficient, making promise to Abraham that he was going to bless him, and that in his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed, etc. Well, that would have been sufficient, because that's immutable. But then, to kind of go a step above, he swore to it with an oath that he would do it. And that's something else that's immutable. So by these two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, and that he confirmed it with an oath, he brought to pass the great promise of salvation in Christ Jesus, the seed of Abraham. That's why you have the book of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. It has to be tied in with Abraham. Of course, David also. And God brought all that to pass. And this great salvation that comes in Christ Jesus, this hope that we have, is like an anchor to the soul. And it gives us, as the writer says, we might have strong consolation, not just consolation, but strong consolation. We've fled for refuge. Refuge is that we find protection. It's like tornadoes coming and here's a basement. That's a place of refuge. Or here you're by an ocean and there's hills nearby and a tsunami's taking place. You know, the water's going back out into away from the shore. It's time for you to run into the hills for refuge, because the waves and the water's going to come crashing in from the tsunami. And well, we have refuge in our hope in Christ Jesus. And it brings a strong consolation. And that word consolation is kind of an interesting word. It literally in the first century meant to call near. To call near. It'd be like, here's maybe your child, your toddler. Maybe here's your grandchild. And as a toddler, you know, is kind of walking down the sidewalk and or running and falls and scrapes their hand and their knee and they're crying. I mean, what do parents, what do grandparents say? Ah, get up from there, you know, be a man, just shake it off, it's okay. No, we call the grandchild, we call the little child to us, and we call them near. Why? Well, to give comfort, to give consolation, to give hugs and kisses and talk and to soothe. And well, that's what our hope does. It gives us this consolation, a strong consolation. Because the hope we have in Christ Jesus, it's wonderful. I mean, this past year with all the pandemic and all the other pandemic going on and all this other stuff, well, and the turmoils and various ways, there's just great comfort in the hope of the gospel. And to know that we have a Savior, we have a Maker that cares for us, that loves us, and that there is, you see all the shifting sand of human think-sos and opinions and nonsensical ideals out there that are in the world. But there's just great comfort in the Word of God and the stability that it brings, the mooring that it brings, our hope, the truth that we have in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the unchangeable Son of God, the one who the Hebrew writer will say in the 13th chapter, there in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That rock, Jesus, I mean, he stays the same. I mean, he's there and he's steadfast. And we put our hope and our confidence. And this hope we have and the truth that is found in Christ Jesus, it's an anchor of the soul. And we're not going to be tossed to and fro. I mean, you look at the changing doctrines of human teachings and things that are propagated. I mean, it's just constantly being changing and so on and so forth. But in Christ Jesus and the truth of the Scriptures, man, it's there. And God's truth hasn't changed. I mean, it's rock. It's a rock. It's stability. And the hope that comes from knowing Christ Jesus, that He's the Son of God, that He's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's not like politicians, you know. They go this way, and then they go that way. And you know, that's a sad thing about things like that, is that, you know, when it comes to human beings, you know, it's like wind. It blows this direction, that direction. And politicians are like that. One year, they're for this, and the next year, well, they're against that very thing. But the Word of God, it remains the same. And Jesus Christ, and the truth of the gospel, and the hope of everlasting life. I mean, there are promises made by different people, human beings, and sometimes they just falter and fail and it doesn't come to pass. But the promises of God and the hope we have, and when you talk about biblical hope, biblical hope is not just some fanciful desires like, well, I hope I win that publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. Well, I don't think you need to sit down and start figuring out ways you're going to spend that money. Because the very, very unlikely, you'll never get it. I mean, it's just, you probably have, well, you'd have better chances of being hit by lightning. And we don't expect that. I mean, we know it's always possible, but we don't really expect it. But biblical hope is something that we desire, and it's something that we expect. And the expectation is not that we're something, but because the promise of God is sure. It's like the change of seasons. I mean, we're not scratching our heads and wringing our hands and, well, you know, I wonder if spring's going to come in the midst of cold weather. And, oh, is the winter ever going to end? Yep, you better believe it. If the world stands, yeah, spring will return. You can count on it. God is the sustainer. And gravity, you know, it's like, oh boy, gravity's working good today. Well, I'm not sure if gravity's going to work good tomorrow. Well, nobody doubts that. Gravity, it works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You know, sun up, sundown. Those are things that we bank on them. We just have full confidence. Well, we can have full confidence of the promises of the gospel, of salvation, of the hope of eternal life, and someday that will be brought to pass, that we will be granted eternal life. Why? Because it's rooted in God. It's rooted in the one who cannot lie. That's impossible for him to lie. And this hope that we have, it's an anchor to the soul. And that's where I want to put all my faith and confidence, is in the Lord, not in the doctrines of men, not in the things of this world, because they're fleeting. They're here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, just look at all the various things that have faltered and failed, but not God and not His promises. And that's what we encourage you, is to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we can help you in the study of the Word of God, give me a call at 606-308 5077. Be happy to help you with any Bible question that you have. And until next time, we bid you farewell.